That's just some good old Southern gospel music right there. All right. Amen. I like that. I take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. In the bulletin, it shows Ephesians 4, 29 and 30. But I want to go back to verse 25 and read through 32. But the key verse is 29. This passage of Scripture, actually, if you go up to back to verse 17, deals with the Christian walk. And it would be good if we read chapter 4, actually beginning with verse 17, but I'm going to start with 25. So sometime today, go back and read the latter part of this chapter, 17 through 32, because it does tell us how we are to walk as Christians. So, you know, it kind of goes along with Romans 10, 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and that God raised him from the dead, you know, we can have eternal life through Jesus our Lord. So then after that, we are to walk the Christian walk. So look with me at verse 25, Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are the members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And do not give the devil an opportunity. Or another translation of that word is a foothold. Don't let him get his foot in the door. Don't even let him get his toe in the door. Don't give him an opportunity to distract you and lead you in the wrong direction. That's what that's meaning. And verse 28 says, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather be a laborer, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, clamor and slander be put aside from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. There was an elderly man that had a serious hearing problem. And his family was encouraging him to go to the hearing doctor or the doctor to get his hearing checked. And finally, he gave in. So he went. And they made him a set of hearing aids and put him in. They checked him. And his hearing was perfect. It was perfect. Well, a month later, he went back to the doctor just for a checkup. As he checked and evaluated his hearing aids and everything, he said, you know, your hearing is still perfect. I'm sure your family is delighted. They are really glad for you that you can finally hear the conversations that you have with them. And he said, you know what? They don't even know that I have hearing aids. He said, I have been sitting around for the whole month just listening to their conversations, and I have already changed my will 3 times. So we need to be careful what we communicate, right? With our hearing. We need to be careful what it's talking about in the spiritual things that we communicate. Because the Bible says that we are to edify or build up one another. And I don't know about you, it's hard to be around negative people sometimes, isn't it? It is. I used to think that, you know, people had that acted the way they did had problems. Now I believe they have problems because they act that way. And that's what Paul is saying here, you know. We as Christians, we are to walk the talk and talk the walk that we have in Christ Jesus. So if we confess him, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, if we be in him, we are what? A new creature. Old things, the old sins that we used to carry around with us in suitcases that bogged us down, that burdened us, they're all gone. They're all cleaned out. The Lord opened up the suitcases and he trashed it. He threw it away. He took it away from us. And now we're walking with a lighter load. So the old things have become new because Christ has changed our life. So if he has changed our life, then we are different. We are changed. So as we think about what message do we communicate to others with our life, you know, we communicate to others not just through our words, but also by our facial expressions, our posture, even the way that we dress. And you might not think that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, that we wear what we have, okay? But if we could do better, or if we dress in a way that it doesn't reflect who we are as Christians, then it talks about our emotions of who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord only expects us to do our best, to live our best, to depend upon him. And verse 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, how can we grieve the Holy Spirit? By doing what it says not to do in verse 29. Let your words be kind. Let them be positive. Let them be to edify one another. So if we do something, if we sin, it grieves the Holy Spirit. And we don't want to do anything to grieve the Holy Spirit, right? Because if we're grieving the Holy Spirit, that means we are losing our fellowship with him. We're not communicating with him. And therefore, we're slipping backwards in our relationship with him. You see? So it's important to think about the messages we send, both in our speech and the way that we carry ourselves. You know, we should also consider whether we are making the most of every opportunity to encourage those around us, but not give an opportunity to the devil. So we are to encourage one another. We can be tremendous instruments of God's blessing to others if we closely monitor what we communicate. Now, our sense of personal wholeness is greatly affected by how we interpret what others communicate to us. On the country and show, Branded, that's an old country and western. I don't know how many of you remember Branded. Chuck Connors, Lucas McCain, I guess, on The Rifleman. But there was an episode that I picked up on as I was studying this particular scripture. You know, it's been a while back since I saw Branded and saw this particular episode. But it was about a father. He had two sons. And one had served in the Civil War, and the other one was younger at that time and had not. Well, the son ended up getting killed in the Civil War. And therefore, and his name was Jason, but Adam was still at home. But to the father, Adam did not measure up to Jason. He was always throwing things at him and saying things, slurry things, and putting him down. You're no good. You're never amount to anything. Throughout the movie, and here comes Chuck Connors, happened to be a visitor in the home, and he was listening to this. And he was trying to encourage the father. He said, Do you understand what you're saying to your son? You're not lifting him up or building him up. You're tearing him down. You're trying to put him on the same level as Jason, and Jason is not here, and you are trying to make Adam Jason. And it goes through the whole movie like this, or the whole show, until the end to Adam is just, he's distraught, he's broken, to the point, you know, I'm no good. I might as well not even be here with you. And something that Chuck Connors said to the father to make him realize that Jason wasn't the guy that he thought he was, because he happened to be in the same foxhole as Jason. And he shared about that and said, you know, you have Adam. You don't have Jason. He's your son too. And it sparked something in his mind, and he just broke down and he said, I didn't realize it, but I am wrong. You see what he said? He says, I am wrong. You see, anyone who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in their life, we all have to admit we are wrong sometimes. But we have a loving and forgiving Heavenly Father, and who has forgiven us of our sins. And the Bible says that we are to forgive one another as Christ Jesus has forgiven us. So when we think about what we communicate on a daily basis, whether we're at church or on the job, just out sitting around sipping coffee or eating somewhere, or at home, in the marketplace, shopping, whatever. When people see us, what are we communicating with our faces? What are we communicating with our bodies? How are we communicating to them the way we dress? Well, when we're in Christ Jesus, we are communicating that we are someone who cares, and that we love the Lord, and we love one another. You see, when we see people, you know, the Bible says when the opportunity comes, be ready and equipped and ready to say something that will encourage or build up one another. And Paul, he is saying this to the Ephesians church. You know, he's saying, you know, to build up one another, come together in worship, come together in fellowship, whether you're in the church or outside the church or at home, on the job, build up. Let your facial expressions, one of the best ways to do that is what? With your facial expressions. It's a smile. Smile whether you feel like it or not, you know, you make you feel better all over. If you smile, you know, just smile. Smile. Because it tells someone you're meeting, or the opposite person, what's really going on in here. So the problem we have is because of the problems we create for ourselves oftentimes. And the Bible says that to build up one another in the Lord. Now, the Lord's primary work in us concerns our spirit. That's why it says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. So the primary work in us concerns our spirit, the innermost part of our being, because it affects both body and soul. One night at 11:30 p.m., an elderly African-American woman was stranded on the side of the road. Now, this is a true story. In Alabama, it was a severe storm, and she was outside a car, and she was getting drenched. And she didn't know what to do, and so she decided that she was going to flag down the next person that drove by. And when the next car come up, she waved her hand to flag them down, and it was a young white male. And back in the 60s, that didn't rarely happen, did it? He stopped. He asked her to get in the car. He drove her to a nearby station. He got her help to get her car. He bought her a ticket so that she could get to where she needed to go. And she was such in a hurry, but she did manage to write down his address, and she said, thank you. 7 days later, there was a knock on the door. It was a delivery man delivering this man a brand new huge console TV. And it was from this lady. She said, I didn't have time to talk to you very much. She said, I was drenched and my spirit was drenched. But she said, because you was willing to stop, help me out, I am very thankful, and thank you for being a servant to others. Sincerely, Mrs. Nat King Cole. I don't know if you remember, her husband died many, many years ago. But you see, here was a young man, didn't know her, didn't know it was not Mrs. Nat King Cole, but he stopped. Even in the 1960s, even in the South, you know, during all those times of troubles and turmoil and so forth. And it still goes on today. But hopefully, thankfully, maybe this was a Christian young man who was reaching out to someone in distress. You know, Brenda and I, many, many times, and she's usually the instigator, some going down the road, she says, that person needs help. I turn around, we go back. One time, back several years ago, there was a young lady on the side of the road, broke down, and I saw it, and she didn't have to say nothing, because I thought, well, a young lady, you know, if it's my daughter, I would want somebody to stop and help her as well, right? Turn around, I go back, we help her. She got her help, and we stayed there till her help came. We got on where we was going, sitting at a red light, and kaboom, we got rear-ended. So I thought, well, what a day. We helped somebody, now we need help ourselves. But we was okay. But you see, we don't always foresee the things that are coming day to day. But when they do happen, and when circumstances around us do occur, you know, what kind of attitude, what kind of emotions are we going to have? How are we going to reach out? What are we going to say to others to make their day better? And that's what the scripture is saying here this morning. So our emotional makeup includes three basic needs. God designed us to find fulfillment of these through personal relationship with Him. First of all, personal relationship with Him gives us belonging. belonging. And there's a verse, Romans 8:16, that says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now that should be a reminder to each one of us every day that God's Spirit is our spirit because we belong to him. Do you hear what that says? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, meaning he lets us know that we belong to him. So if we belong to him, we need to respond and act just like him. Is that right? And any given day, the Spirit of God is going to act kindly to us. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to instruct, the Holy Spirit is going to instruct you when I'm gone. I'm going back to the Heavenly Father, but the Spirit will be here with you to teach you, to guide you, to help you in life. Call upon him. Don't quench the Spirit, but call on him. Let him be your help. Let him be your guide. And you see, according to this verse, he bears witness for us. Not only do we belong, but worthiness. Look at Romans 5:8. Be one that we'll be memorizing. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we were going on our merry little way each day, not thinking about anything else but doing our own thing, sinning, according to what the Bible was saying, that Christ died for us. He died for us. Anyway, he died. He cared for us. So that gives us worth. Several years ago at church camp, whatever our theme was, there was a word, worthiness or worthy. So I got to thinking, all the kids like candy, don't they? So I bought a bag of candy, worthy candy. You know what I'm talking about? And I went to the Bible. Well, first I prayed. I said, Lord, I'm going to look up 150 scriptures, and all these 150 scriptures, because that's how many kids we was going to have at camp. I want you to lay on my heart and mind which scripture to put on this piece of worthy candy. And when these kids get it, I want it to reflect where they are in their life. And that includes the adults. And I put that on there, and at the end of the devotion that I gave that evening, I gave each one of the kids and adults one of those candies, worthy candies with a scripture on it. I don't know how many people that came to me and said, you know what? This verse was perfect for me. You see, that's what the scripture says, that the Spirit will bear witness to our spirit. He will speak to us at any given time, at any given moment in our life, where we are wrong, where we need to be corrected, or when we need to be lifted up, or encouraged, or taught, or motivated in our spiritual life. Now, ability. God gives us ability. That's another emotional senses that he gives us as a makeup, and it's a basic need in our life. Ephesians 3:20 says, to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. So we may ask. If we don't think, the Bible says he thinks for us and reveals it to us. All above what we can even ask or think. So, see, the Holy Spirit is here to work in our lives. How do we know this? How do we know this? Well, Paul could write this because he could write it because he had personal experience of the power of God in his own life. A power that would rapidly outgrow, outlast the mighty Roman Empire. That would cause the gospel to spread through Europe, transforming it that would inspire such thinkers as Augustine, Aquinas, Luther, Calvin, who launched a Protestant Reformation, and eventually to lead us to building up the new world, a world where religious freedom and tolerance would be to rise unparalleled heights. And that's the power that works in us today, you see. So each of these emotional makeups of our life gives three essential emotions. Through our belonging to God, we feel accepted. And everybody wants to be accepted, don't they, in this life? Well, you are accepted by Christ. We, as individuals or human beings, must accept God's invitation for salvation. Another one is that through Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we feel loved. If you don't feel loved today, read Romans 8. For God causes all things to work to the good for those who he has called. You know, Romans chapter 8 is a chapter which to remind us we have no fear, because if God is for us, who can be against us? And then through the indwelling Holy Spirit, we feel secure. So to God, there is no such thing as unimportant, unlovable person. That's why destructive words are never appropriate. They only lead to feelings of rejection and unworthiness. So what does verse 29 say? Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear it. During a second month of a nursing school, this nurse that was very consistent, she was a good student and everything, the professor was given a quiz. And this particular nursing student was very consistent. She studied, she knew her material and everything. And she was doing real, real well until she got to the last question. And it says, what is the first name of the cleaning lady of this school? And that nursing student said, is this a joke? Is this a joke? Why would the professor put a question on here like that? See, sure, she was thinking in mind, I've seen that lady. She's tall, dark-headed, in her 50s, well-mannered and everything. But why would I know her personally? She took her paper, took it up to the professor, handed it to him, went back to her seat and sat down. And then at the end of the class, a student raised her hand and said, sir, is this question about the cleaning lady, is this going to be a part of the test? Are we going to be counted for this? He said, absolutely. And he said, this is the reason why. In your profession, you're going to be meeting a lot of people. You're going to be caring for a lot of people. And if you don't learn to know them personally, or to be able to help them or lift them up or make their day better, then why choose this profession? Makes sense, doesn't it? So what he was saying, you know, the message we communicate should be one to build up. Let people know that you are interested, that you do care, and that your life is a life of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he came to build us up, didn't he? He came to lift us up. He came to encourage us. He came to give us eternal life. So this professor was right. You know, whatever profession you're in, it doesn't matter. You know, cleaning person to the President of the United States, or whoever you are, our purpose in life is to build up one another. Build up. Because opportunity will come for you one of these days, if not today, to lift someone's spirit. Not to tear it down, not to discourage, not to be negative, but to be positive. Because we serve a living God. Now, he hates sin, but he loves us, and he loves those that we meet, our neighbors, our friends, our relatives. So, you want to grow in your spiritual life? We'll do what we're taught by the scriptures to do, to be encouragers, to be those to be willing to reach out. Because there are lost people in our community. And sometimes we may be the only Bible they ever read, the only face, the expression of love they may ever see. So, we are to live a life not quenching the Holy Spirit, but to lift up. Even Christ himself, because he lifted up himself on the cross for us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your love and care, your willingness to go to the cross for us. And we thank you for your scripture that teach us how that we are to go about in life, how we are to treat others, and how we are to be an example or a reflection of your love. Lord, there's so many in our world, in our community today, that feel left out, that's discouraged. And sometimes it's brought on by themselves. But Lord, you have given us an opportunity to reach out, to make a difference, to let people know where we've been ourselves. But now, since we've been cleansed by your Holy Spirit, forgiven of our sins, we have a testimony. We have a witness. And we stand on solid ground. Your word speaks for itself. And Lord, through your word, may it speak through us of your love and your sacrifice and your willingness to forgive us of our sins. May we communicate the message that you live through us as we give of ourselves each day. Surrender our will to your Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for your invitation. May it be received openly this morning. To anyone here that doesn't know you personally, anyone that's looking for a church home, anyone that would just want to come down here to this altar and just pray. Maybe we come down here and just pray for someone else. Maybe a lost family member or a neighbor or a co-worker or someone that we know that needs a personal relationship with you or a closer relationship with you. Let your spirit, Lord, testify and witness to our spirit what your will is for this very moment. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 101. His name is Wonderful. Let us stand as we sing. Hymn number 101.
Yeah.
thank you for being here this morning in our service, and we hope that you will stay for Sunday school. Won't take that much time out of your day. Since you're already here, enjoy the time together, fellowship, learning more about God's Word. And I think you'll find that you may meet somebody or talk to somebody you hadn't talked to this week, okay? Just stay and enjoy this time together. And have a blessed afternoon. As we go to the Lord in prayer, Dennis Swanhope, would you close us in prayer?
Father God.